It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll Alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the defense, and sorry if you were already asked this, but, you know, on some of those explosives that were allowed, how much of that was what Baltimore was doing, or were there details that you felt, you know, you guys could have done better?
I don't know if it'd be details, but maybe they found maybe some of the, you know, like in every coverage or run, there's some strengths and some weaknesses. So, for instance, if you were playing man-to-man and you had outside leverage, you're vulnerable inside. So I wouldn't say it wasn't like a communication issue that got us jammed up today, Nikki. I would say at the end, not fitting some runs exactly like you want, or a certain coverage in a fire zone that here's where the hole is and they hit it. So I had been impressed leading into the game with their passing game and Lamar, although the running game got so much attention. But so I wasn't surprised to see them throw it well. I was disappointed to see the long screen early. You know, that was one thing that we had talked about. But I knew they had a complete package. They may have not had to feature it as often in some games, but I knew they had that in their arsenal as a passing game, too.
Baltimore's pretty good on offense. They did that to Cincinnati last week. In fact, you just kind of check out the Ravens and their last few games. I mean, you know, they dominated the Cowboys and until they took their foot off the pedal in the fourth quarter. The last three games, 35, 41, and 30 points, 484 yards yesterday. They had 520 yards against the Bengals. In the win against the Bills, they didn't have to do a lot once they got to the fourth quarter, but they still had 427 yards of offense. They're averaging as a team right now well over 7 yards per play. Frightening team offensively. We put up, by the way, our Window Nation Twitter poll, X poll of the day, at Team 980 on X. I also retweeted it at Kevin Sheehan DC. How would you grade Jaden Daniels' performance in Washington's 30-23 loss? A, B, C, or D? If anybody gives him a C or a D, I am not sure what you were watching. Quite honestly, it'd be hard for me to give him anything less than what I gave him, which was an A. This team had zero chance in the game without him and without Terry, who I thought was really, really good in the game as well. All right. So I've gone through the list of things that I liked and a couple of things that I didn't like, but I saved this one for last. Look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this was a play that could have changed the outcome of the game. Because, again, when you give up 7.5 yards per play, 484 yards, points on 6 of 8 drives, and then a run-out-the-clock drive at the end of the game, when you really had no chance to get them off the field after the first quarter, Baltimore would have done whatever they needed to do offensively, because they could have, to win the game yesterday. However, the third drive of the game, it's 3-3. We're early in the second quarter. It's second down and 11. And there's an opportunity, a big opportunity to take, you know, the field position that they had. This was following the one punt that they had forced. You know, they got the sack from Fowler on Jackson. They had to punt it from their end zone. Washington starts the drive from their 50-yard line, and you've got an opportunity to go in and take a 10-3 lead. Worst case, 6-3. And they get a first down on Jaden's scramble on 3rd and 5 to move the chains. But then they're faced with 2nd down and 11, 12. And Jaden has Zacchaeus wide open, and he makes the perfect throw. It's a play action from shotgun to McNichols, who's in the backfield. I think it was McNichols. And he goes down the field over, you know, I think it was Roquan Smith's, you know, back. And Zacchaeus turns upfield before he had secured the ball, and he drops it. You know, score, pressure, game context, you know, it does matter. And they didn't put any game pressure on Baltimore at any point in the game from a scoreboard standpoint. And they had the opportunity to do it there. And it's a really good throw. And it's got to be caught by Zacchaeus, because if it is, it's first down at the Baltimore 25-yard line. Who knows? If he secures it and then turns, there's a chance maybe even to turn it upfield for a few more yards. But he turned before he had the ball. And then on 3rd and 11, he went deep to Terry down the left sideline. He actually put the ball in a pretty good spot, but Terry couldn't come up with it. It would have been a phenomenal catch, and it would have probably not been in bounds. So they had to punt it back, and then that was the first of, you know, the long 90-plus yard drives for the Ravens that the Ravens generated. That was a punt that they kicked down to the 7-yard line, I think. I think they went 93 on that drive, and then later in the game they went 94, something like that. But anyway, tough deal for sure, because game context, score, pressure, game pressure, would have been nice to see Washington jump out to a 10-3 lead, or even a 6-3 lead with a couple of more minutes, you know, run off the clock. So that is the list of things that I didn't love. I was not going to put the fact that they didn't really try to run the football on that list. I think you move the football the way you feel you can move the football. This was a game in which you didn't want to, you know, you didn't want to blow a possession by trying to establish some sort of physical identity at the line of scrimmage by running, not Brian Robinson Jr., into the Baltimore, you know, front four and front seven, which was outstanding and has been outstanding against the run. I think the game plan was fine. I think they've got enough trust. It certainly shows they've got enough trust in Jaden Daniels. And look, the production, they had 23 points. They scored 5 times on 9 drives. They had a chance for a field goal for a 6th score out of 9 drives. That's exceptional. You know, another very good points per drive day. You know, punts per drive game. I mean, Tressway punted 3 times. That's not a lot for an NFL team to punt 3 times in a game. All right, for them it is this year. All right, some of the other observations from the game. The 2 injuries, Dorrance Armstrong, Jonathan Allen, those are big. You know, I think Jonathan Allen's getting an MRI this morning. We'll see what happens. Denton will keep an eye on that. My sense of it is it's not going to come back something super serious in terms of long-term, based on a quick conversation that I had with somebody last night. But we'll see. They lost Armstrong. He's played well recently. I didn't actually think that pass rush pressure was the biggest culprit. Coverage, they're tied together. And then, of course, stopping the run in the second half. There was an end of the first half situation that I wanted to get into here, because I liked it and I didn't like it. So going into this game, I said, look, they're going to have to be aggressive. You know, they're going to have to be aggressive on 4th downs, that they're going to, because they can't afford to punt the ball back in this game. They're going to have to be aggressive at the end of the first half to try to gain an extra possession by being smart and using their timeouts well. And they were. You know, Dan, you know, used 2 timeouts on Baltimore's touchdown drive that gave him a 17-10 lead with 53 seconds to go in the first half. By the way, Baltimore screwed up there a little bit. They took snaps with 24 seconds left on the play clock, and then with 28 seconds left on the play clock. Washington had one timeout. It was clear after Baltimore made a first down that they weren't intending on using it for some reason. I'll get to that in a moment. Now, look, Baltimore may say, you know, Todd Monken may say, you know, sit down there, Sparky. You have no idea what you're talking about. We went fast because we wanted them to keep the same personnel on the field, and we thought we had an advantage. But you can go up-tempo and get to the line of scrimmage and face the personnel that you want to face and not snap the ball with 24 seconds or 28 seconds left on the play clock when you're trying to make that drive the last drive of the first half rather than giving the opportunity back to Washington. So I thought Baltimore did a bad job. Even though they scored the touchdown, they scored it with 53 seconds to go. There could have been a lot less time on the clock. Or at the very least, Washington could have entered that final drive without a timeout. But here's the thing from Washington's standpoint. Love the fact that, you know, they're doing what they should do to gain an extra possession. Have to in a game like that, you know. Have to give Jaden Daniels and the offense an opportunity with, you know, the ball being given to them they were going to get the ball at the beginning of the second half because they deferred after the toss. And then you had a chance to go, you know, back-to-back. With a score at the end of the first half and a score to start the second half. So love that part of it. But here's the thing where I think Dan Quinn screwed up. So he took a timeout with him into the locker room at halftime. There was an opportunity that he could have used it on defense. He used the first two on defense, but then Baltimore got a first down. And then they got a 2-yard run with a minute 20 left in the half. I would have banged a timeout right there. You know, you got a second down and 8. Baltimore's probably going to throw the ball. More likely than not, on a condensed field, they might be going into the end zone, so it's going to be a touchdown or an incomplete pass. But I am saving some time there because Baltimore did have the opportunity to run at that point 40 seconds before they snapped it. They didn't. They did Washington a favor, but I don't think Quinn knew that. I would have called a timeout there with a minute 20 to go on defense because remember kind of the, you know, oversimplification of clock management. When you want the ball, what's better, more time or less time? Pretty easy. They wanted the ball back, so they should have used a timeout on defense so that they would have had more time when they got the ball back. And if they had used it there, they would have had it with a minute 10 left rather than 53 seconds left. They wouldn't have had a timeout left. They didn't use it anyway. And then after the throw to Noah Brown at midfield with 30 seconds to go. Now, there is a little bit of confusion. Did he get out of bounds to stop the clock or was he in bounds? They ruled he was in bounds, so the clock rolled. And maybe Quinn got confused there. But if you're going to debate the timeout on defense, which I actually don't think there is a debate for that, there's no debate on that one. You got to hit the timeout right there. 30 seconds to go. You're at midfield. You got a second and one after that throw, or was that a first? No, that was a first down throw. It's first and 10. You now have plenty of time to get in really good field goal percentage. And you got the whole playbook and the whole field available with 30 seconds to go. Instead, the clock rolled. They took that snap with 20 seconds to go. Zacchaeus ended up getting out of bounds in the next two plays. The next play was the brilliant play by Jaden to, you know, basically ground the ball on a check down that wouldn't have gained anything. And then they went back-to-back to Zacchaeus, who got out of bounds, and they kicked the field goal from 52 yards out with 5 seconds to go. It got blocked. I think there was an opportunity to potentially get closer for a shorter field goal. Does that mean the ball comes out a little bit higher? Maybe it doesn't get blocked. I don't know. But I didn't think they did a great job with the last timeout that they had because they didn't use it. And more time is better than less time. It's really that easy. Obviously, there's nuance to every one of these situations. But great job of being aggressive to get the ball back and using your timeouts there on defense, and they used two of them on defense, but I thought he could have used the third timeout on defense with a minute 20 to go, and then on offense with 30 seconds to go, and he didn't use it in either one of those situations, and because of that, they ended up with less time rather than more time, and they were still there. 52-yard field goal is nothing, I mean, in this league this year, but it did get blocked, and maybe they would have had an opportunity for a shorter kick. All right. Lastly, the ref stuff. I don't know, man. I it's hard for me to do this unless there's something super egregious or super, you know, one-sided. I think they missed the Kyle Hamilton hit on Jaden. I thought that was a penalty. I thought Noah Brown got held coming out of his break on the 3rd and 5 before the 55-yard field goal that made it 20-13. Other than that, I don't know. I could be missing one. I don't get wrapped up in that when literally you are getting absolutely torched and gashed on defense. It's like it wouldn't have mattered in a lot of ways because Baltimore would have done whatever they needed to do offensively against Washington's defense to ensure that they scored enough to win the game. I do have one other thing that I'll mention when we come back on the other side, but phone lines are now open. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Couple of other, you know, quick observations. One in particular that just drove me nuts yesterday. You'll hear it when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Justice Hill in at running back on 2nd and 10. Jackson's pass.
Intercepted! There's that first interception. Sangristil, the rookie from Michigan, has it. Look at Lamar Jackson swing him down. Well, we had just said not a single pick on the whole year, and boom, the very next snap, they take it away.
Yeah, big play. The worst throw he had probably that whole day. Was it to Andrews? I think it was to Andrews. And it was just a little bit too far outside. I think Andrews was sitting it down there, and Lamar just let him a little bit too much. Ball got tipped. Sam was still with a really good return. I think it was a 38-yard return for Sanristil. The first interception of the year, Washington's 4th takeaway of the year. They are near the bottom of the league. I think they are tied for 30th for the fewest takeaways on the season. That's going to have to improve, given what the defense is through 6 weeks, and likely will be, because it is a talent issue for sure, on the back end in particular. They're just going to need some of those takeaways, you know, that sometimes they just, you know, kind of come your way in bunches, and they have done that for Joe Witt Jr. and for Dan Quinn over the years. You start getting some of those, you know, to a game the rest of the way, now you can mask a lot of what you are in terms of your limitations on defense. So one more quick observation before we get to the phone lines. 301-230-0980. Your thoughts on Washington's second loss of the year, 30-23 at Baltimore. This was a game with the number one CBS crew, Nance and Romo. And I forget who was down on the sidelines.
Tracy Wolfson.
Tracy Wolfson, right. Okay, so you got to have a producer or somebody that knows that this is not a battle of the DMV. It's not a battle of the Beltway What are you doing? I mean, are we the only people that know this? People in Baltimore and people in Washington that we're not actually the same market? The DMV, the M is Maryland, but it's not for Baltimore, Maryland. It's for the D.C. metro area, which is Maryland. That would be Montgomery County, Prince George's County, Frederick County, parts of Howard County, I would guess. And then the Battle of the Beltway. God almighty, I've heard this for years now. No, we don't share a beltway with Baltimore. It's a completely different city. You know, in every way imaginable, imaginable. Bless their hearts. You want to say Battle of the Beltways? Okay, although that's kind of weird. Because D.C.'s beltway is really something that people know. Not necessarily Baltimore's beltway. Want to say Battle of the Parkway? That's fine. We share a Washington-Baltimore Parkway. But the Battle of the DMV, I mean, come on, man. We got to do better than that, CBS. I also thought that they did a poor job on a couple of the replays. Like, the first, and I wrote this down, the first St. Juice DPI, I wanted to see it again. I wanted to see Jaden's first sack on 3rd and 7 to see if anybody was open. Like, usually you'll say, ah, you know, he could have gone here, or coverage was great, and he didn't have anywhere else to go with the football. Because that 3rd and 7, and I'll look at it on the All-22 when I get my version, for whatever reason I get it late, to see if Terry was open on that. But I just thought it was a very average broadcast with Nance and Romo, and just this, you know, ridiculous Battle of the Beltway, Battle of the DMV. By the way, that was Washington's third AFC North game in 6 games. They'll have one left against Pittsburgh in November. And they also have one other AFC game. You play 5 against the AFC now. In the case of the NFC East, you play the 4 against the AFC North this year. And you'll play a team from the AFC South that finished in the same position you finished in last, which was last place. They have a game against the Titans as well. As I mentioned, not all losses are the same when it comes to standings, and it comes to, you know, eventually down the road, possibly tiebreaker conversation. An AFC loss is much less in terms of how much it hurts compared to an NFC loss, and certainly an NFC East loss. Washington's 1-0 in the NFC East. They're going to play the Giants before they play the Eagles or the Cowboys, but man, the division falling apart. The Cowboys are in deep trouble. They stink. They don't have any talent. Philly, you know, held on for dear life. Now, the Cleveland couldn't really score. They scored on a blocked field goal return. You know, Sirianni, it might be the most insufferable head coach we've seen in decades. God, does he drive everybody, his own fans and opposing fans, nuts. The division is there. The division is there for a team that's really good on offense, not so good on defense, to win 9-10 games and win the division and host a playoff game. I'm going to be interested to see what the odds are this week. I'll check on them later. But Washington's going to be pretty close now, even after a loss, to being the favorite to win the division. Long way to go. Lots of things change. Obviously, teams get better, teams get worse, teams get healthier, teams get, you know, more injured. Those things are major influencers on games and overall records. All right, Denton, give me your quick big takeaways, and then we'll get to the phone lines.
Biggest takeaway, the defense is not good. Anybody that fell fool to the fact that they held that awful Cleveland offense to next to nothing and thought they were going to do the same thing against Baltimore, hopefully you now realize that defense is not very good. I thought Jaden played really well. I would give him a B+, personally. I would have loved to see him scramble a little bit more. And it looked like he was a tad flustered the first two drives, but I'm confident that whenever he gets a little flustered, he's going to find his way out of it, which is really impressive for a guy that's only played to this point 6 games in the NFL. But I thought the offense played well. The defense, when you allow nearly 500 yards of total offense, I know Baltimore is really good, but if you're allowing nearly 500 yards of total offense, you cannot expect to win the football game, no matter how good your offense is. And again, they played well. So I when you have a defense that's playing like that, you're not going to beat good teams. So that's kind of what it came down to.
I think part of the reason that I'm giving Jaden an A for this game is because they were a one-dimensional football team for the first time this year. They asked Jaden to drop back and deliver from the pocket over and over again, and for the most part, he did. I'm going to look to see if there were more scramble opportunities. I thought Baltimore did a good job with the contain rush, Denton, so we'll see on that. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if I ever feel like he's actually flustered or rattled watching him. Not at all. Like, that opening drive, that was a really good design on that wheel to Eckler, where they fake short and threw it to him. That was the big play on that drive on a third and short, maybe a third and one. The third and seven, though, that's the one I want to look at. That's the one I want to look at because I think Terry may have been open on the play that he got sacked and had one. I think it's the biggest lost yardage sack for him this year. I think it was 10 yards. Okay, phone lines are open. What'd you think about a loss in Baltimore 30-23? I'm not into moral victories at this point, but I do think the focus is clear. They're an excellent offensive team led by a very high-level quarterback, regardless of how many games in the NFL he's played. And they are limited defensively, clearly. And yesterday's opponent, fortunately, they won't have to face again, but they're still a limited defense. Let's go with JR calling from Germantown. JR, kick it off for us. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, JR.
Can you hear me?
I got you.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to piggyback on you about Forbes, man. I was hitting my head against the wall the second quarter saying, "Why? Where's Forbes at? He would have been the perfect DB to be on Flowers. He struggled with big physical receivers. Right. If he would have been in the game and maybe they get some help over the top a little bit for him, I think he could have held him down a little bit. But other than that, that's all I got to say. I just thought the defensive coordinators, they didn't play in this game a little. They could have did a lot better with having Forbes and Jamin Davis.
No, JR, yeah. We don't know, and there could have been issues with, you know, his readiness, and I don't know what the issues are with Forbes. You know, I think Davis was inactive because Farrell was back, and, you know, but to me, it's like we've seen not enough from Forbes overall, but the one thing you can't deny, he can run, all right? He's sub 4.4, he can run. He's had most of his difficulties against big physical receivers. You had a smaller receiver in Zay Flowers who can also run. You were going to play a loaded box, I mean almost an 8-man box exclusively, it seemed like, with single high and man coverage. And that's the one thing he can do. He can run. And you didn't have anybody out there that could run with Flowers. You know, so I guess I'm a little bit surprised, but they know more than we know for sure. Let's go to Bones. Oh, is Bones not there? Let's go to Greg in Gaithersburg. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. I think we all know our secondary is our weak point. I think, though, if we could have gotten a little more pressure on Lamar, which, you know, it's not easy to do, and on any quarter, that'll take the pressure off your secondary. I thought they could have done a little more stunts on the rush. But, you know, like you said, they're the experts. We're just, you know, observing. But getting to Jaden Daniels, I'm more and more impressed with him. His one touchdown to Terry on the side of the end zone, that was just, that ball couldn't have been off an inch in any direction. I mean, it was perfect. And then the other one in the back of the end zone, I'm really getting more and more impressed every week with what I see with this kid. So hopefully B-Rob will be back, and we can just keep going. I'm not upset. Baltimore is a great team. We just got to keep moving and improve where we need it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Greg. We'll see. I didn't strike me one way or the other about what they were trying to do in terms of pass rush pressure. You know, how many snaps they played with virtually eight in the box or a loaded box, I think it's going to be a lot. It certainly seemed like a lot in watching the game. You know, they were intent on, you know, stopping the run and then getting after the quarterback, you know, after stopping the run on the way to the quarterback. But Baltimore blocked up their play action well, and they had nobody that could check Flowers in the first half. And then I thought it was interesting, the adjustment that Baltimore made in their running game in the second half. Look, it could have been as easy as saying, okay, if you're going to go single high and eight in the box, we're going to throw it. If you're going to go cover two and you're going to lighten up the box, which they didn't really lighten up the box that much, we're going to run it. But it was more than that. They went to like a pitch sweep game. They went to the sweep with Henry, and it was a pitch sweep. You know, it wasn't zone stretch. It was pitch sweep with, you know, a couple of offensive linemen pulling, and they gashed them on that. Gashed them. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, go ahead.
Thank you, Kevin, for taking my call.
Sure, Kev.
Yeah, what a game. I mean, wow, Baltimore's addition of Derrick Henry, save for the first game against Kansas City where we didn't see it,
right.
I just feel it's the difference maker that pushes them over the top and makes them the best team in the AFC. So for us to have had a chance late in the fourth against that team, it's phenomenal. And so I want to throw a few bouquets. The two TD passes to Terry from Jaden were just incredible passes. Great catches as well, for sure, but just incredible passes. And, you know, to clock it, which was brilliant. That was the first time I've seen a Redskins/Commanders quarterback since Joe T really work the clock and save time. It's been that long. So that was just an incredible play. The other thing that was incredible is when he was about to get sacked and his arm is so strong, he was able to throw it against his body and get it out of bounds to avoid the sack. So Jaden was phenomenal. But I have a couple questions for you just because I don't know and I don't have all 22 and no one does just yet for this week. First, was Payne as invisible as I thought he was yesterday? Because I know you love him. I have two more and then I just want to hear what your thoughts are. We were one-dimensional. If we'd had a healthy B-Rob, do you think it would have made much difference against their great run D? I would hope it would, but I'm not sure it would. And then the only other thing about the game that was, I just don't know what was happening, is that there didn't seem to be any attempts to stretch the field. There were very few deep passes, if any. It was mostly short and intermediate. Just wondered what your thoughts are on those three questions, and you did a great job. Thank you so much, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks, Kev. As far as Duron goes, look, it was hard to identify anybody other than the players I mentioned. You know, Fowler, Wagner, San Ristill, you know, defensively. You really got to go back and watch it. It was just ugly across the board. I thought Baptiste, I think he's actually shown some capability defensively all season long when he's been in there. It may have been that he just couldn't go, but it may have also been one of those where if you were playing a division opponent where you wanted to run the football, or just any opponent where you thought you could run the football, maybe he plays. I don't know that, you know, at all. Maybe he's legit, you know, banged up and could not go. But, you know, if you were gonna not have him in a game, this is probably the game, because you were more likely going to have to throw the football to move it anyway. You know, Baltimore's been outstanding against the run. Matabuke, those guys up front are good against the run. And then lastly, in terms of stretching the field, I think they did take, you know, yeah, they were more medium shots. That's true. But they were down the field play actions on some first downs, even on some second downs. You know, the throw to Noah Brown for 28 yards. I think that was the first play of the second half. The shot to Ertz, you know, it wasn't like there was a ton of yak. Yes, on the Eckler play early. But to your point, last week they had all of these explosives in the game. But remember, some of those explosives came off of Jaden off schedule, came off of Jaden extending plays. The 66-yarder to Terry, the 34-yard run on fourth and three. So you didn't have a lot of off-schedule plays, and I think you probably give Baltimore some credit for that. All right, let's get to Paulie. Paulie, go ahead.
Big guy, hail to the W.
What's up?
No, man, listen, I disagree with you completely with the whole Robinson situation and even the game plan yesterday, man. We try to go out there and out punch them. You got to knock these dudes out, man. That was too finesse for me. We made ourselves one-dimensional from the beginning. I don't care if Robinson was there or not. And if Robinson is there, you still got to run that ball. We had no physicality on offense. And that's why we was in a lot of second and longs all the time, because the first down play calling sucked, period. Now, you thank God that Jaden Daniels is as good as he is, or that game would have been a blowout. Easy. Real easy. And as far as the defense go, you know, we all know the limitations. Pass rush, secondary. We know that. All right? But I didn't see – I would have preferred us going out fighting and swinging than it seemed like we were just passive back there. You know, as far as them running gashes on the outside, that's because they did a pretty good job up the middle against the run, you know, with the tackles all the time. But the middle of the defense did a pretty good job against the run, against Baltimore's run. That's why they started going to the edges. You know, their zone defense.
Yeah, no doubt.
They made no plays out of the zone. They know how to be in the zone, but Paulie,
you should force something else with like 37 players at the line of scrimmage on defense. I mean, they had 8 in the box, and by the way, tightly in the box. On most first down snaps.
This leads me to this thought, man. This leads me to this thought. We have no playmakers in that back five or whatever you want to call the circuit, the safeties in the corners. We don't really have any playmakers back there, especially at the cornerback position. We see, all our questions and thoughts and fears was about Jaden Daniels. Everybody said, you know, you asked at the beginning of the year, what are we looking for this season? Everybody like, the development of Jaden Daniels. He's here. You can win with this guy right now. Like, he's a top 10 quarterback in the league, in my opinion, right now. So, are we going to just, the rest of this season, are we just going to hope on getting better on defense and fake? Or is Adam Peters going to get in his general manager bag and go out and get us a couple players? Because we need a playmaker in that secondary, and we need a pass rusher, one or the other. Are we going to sit on our laurels and just let this season go as it's going right now? We're hoping we can get better just to compete on defense, or are we going to go out here and make this move? Because we need some playmakers back there.
What moves do you want to make?
This is a seat, a corner or a pass rusher.
So you want to go out and give up what you'd have to give up for Hassan Reddick at the trade deadline?
Listen. That's not my decision to make. Well, what I'm saying is that are we going to sit, stand pat, and just let this season keep our assets and just, okay,
dude, I'm with you. You know I'm with you. I don't want to waste an opportunity to potentially win 10, 11 games and host a playoff game. I'm with you. But
I'm just saying, what are you going to do? What are we going to do? We need a corner. We need a playmaker back there.
Yeah.
I think we need a playmaker at corner more than we need a pass rusher. So, I don't want to have this season as being what if. At least one. I'm just saying, we need a playmaker back. I think St. Juice can be a good number two. But going up against the teams, any team that have a B-level receiver or better is torching us. And it's going to be like that for the rest of the year unless they can get better as a team in their concept. So that's what I'm saying. Are we going to just hope on getting better as a team, or are we going to go get a playmaker out there? Something got to give, man.
Look, I'm with you on that. I'm totally with you on that. But back to your first point, I don't really have a problem. I disagree with you because ultimately they did move the football. They did score on 5 of their 9 drives. Could have been 6 had they made the field goal. That's outstanding production. They did it as a one-dimensional team, but I would not have wanted a drive or two wasted trying to develop the physical presence at the line of scrimmage that may have paid off later in a game in which you could not afford too many punts in that game. So I was okay with what they did.
We wasted a drive or two in the first half playing finesse football.
Like, what are you talking about?
What do you mean, what I'm talking about?
They, first and 10 at the Baltimore 16 on the opening drive, they run read option, and Jaden gets stuffed for no gain. You know, you had Terry McLaurin. They tried to run it with him on the inside, and he got stopped for no gain.
Nichols and
Eckler minus one on a second and five.
Eckler and Nichols only had 11 carries between the both of them.
And you know what they averaged on those 11 carries? Eckler averaged 2.3 yards per carry.
But it's not about the average. It's about the trips. And it was
I know, but you're not going to get the attempts if you are punting after three plays. You got to stay on the field.
If you're doing some gimmicky play on first down and it net to no yard is on a loss like it did a lot of times, then
what are you talking about? What's the gimmicky play that they lost yardage on?
Hey, listen, how many times, I just listened to your thing, how many times you said on the second and 10, on the second and 12, on the second and 11?
Right.
The first down play calling was not good yesterday, especially early on. We got into that second half.
On their first two first downs on their opening drive, they ran the ball. Okay, listen, on their third first down, they ran the ball. On their fourth first down, they ran the ball. On their fifth first down, that's the first time they threw the ball.
Any other quarterback that played it for us yesterday, or any in the league, that would have been a blowout. First down play for him to start yesterday.
Well,
man.
Exactly, which is why I want the ball in his hands in a game where you decide going to be awfully hard Brian Robinson Jr. to run it. I think it would have been hard with him to run it yesterday. I got to run. You're the best. I got to get to a break. Those of you on hold, stay there. I'll get to you next. What'd you think? 301-230-0980.
Without Brian, was it kind of game script or difficult to kind of stay balanced between the pass and run?
No, we knew that there would be some hard runs, but we thought at times that'll help you on the play passes. You know, like even though you got to stick to it, because anytime you become one-dimensional and guys can start ripping to go, it just changes it. I just wish we had more shots at bat, you know, in this one, because that's where the time of possession has just kind of got worn down as it goes. Then every one you feel this urgency. We got to go convert. We got to get this. And so it was harder to get into that battle rhythm. But like I said, there's a lot to learn. I don't know what the total play numbers, but it felt very lopsided from a time of possession. And I was just kind of encouraging the defense, just the next stop. That's all you have to worry about. And they had things they wanted to clean up, but just the next play, the next stop. So like I said, there'll be a lot to learn from it.
Yeah. The next play, the next stop, they just never got it after the end of the first quarter. Was that a question about Brian Robinson to begin with?
Yeah, it was a question about about Brian Robinson and the way that they ended up running the ball without him.
Right. Yeah. And I'll listen to that answer again later. Let's get some calls in here. We got Ben Standing coming up. Let's go to Rob in Rockville. Rob, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Kevin, is always a great show.
Thanks.
The defense showed what it is. They got Ibata on the field at defensive end. I want them to move Newton to the other side of defensive end and just play large. Baltimore plays with a big 77 offensive guard. If you look at good teams, they never line up anybody against him because he plays too high. Our corners have no speed. You got to put the kid back in with the bad thumb just because he can run him down. You got to get him on the field to see more plays.
Yeah.
You also got to line up a double tight end a lot more and just take the 4-yard pass, the second and third tight end. I know our offense looks good. I'm happy where we are. I'm sad that we lost. We just ran up against a machine that could run the ball. Nobody wants to tackle a 260-pound back. Ask anybody to try to tackle Riggins. That's it, guys. It's one game. Prepare for the next one. Be better on every play.
Appreciate it, Rob. Let's go to Cornelius in Columbia. Cornelius, go ahead. Cornelius, you there? Let's go to Bones. Yeah. Bones is there. Go ahead, Bones.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Dent and Day. Thanks for taking my call. Pretty much on both sides, you and Paulie pretty much summed it up, right? You know, I was there at the game, right? And I kept saying to myself, you know, while I was watching it, that, you know, why Jamin Davis is not in the game because of his speed. You know what I'm saying? Baltimore, you know, they would make plays on the run and stuff. They couldn't do it on the inside, so they were going wide, right? But we just didn't have that one it player, you know what I'm saying, with that speed that can, you know, deter them from getting around that edge, you know. You know, like I call Derrick Henry, I call him the giant, you know. And other than that, man, we missed a couple plays on offense. You know, some guys, you know, dropped passes, you know, that could have been caught. You know, but I'm pleased. You know, I'm pleased with the results that I saw, and especially what you said about Jaden Daniels as the quarterback. He's definitely our quarterback. Game, man, you know, we 4-2, man. We're going to be all right. You know, I'm not upset. I'm pleased with the whole performance. You know, we need some improvement, get some more speed, better defensive players. We're going to be all right. Thanks for taking my call,
Thanks,
man.
Thanks, Bones. Appreciate it. He broke up there, but I don't – Did he say that he thought that Jaden outperformed Lamar?
It seemed to be like what he alluded to, yeah.
Okay. Look, Jaden played really well yesterday. Really well. Lamar was unbelievable, as he has been here recently. Let's go to Chad in Nashville. Chad, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Hey man, we got to thank Ron and Mark Mayhew. We got to thank all those guys for giving us the coupon of the decade, man. I really appreciate what they did for us. They gave us Jaden Daniels. We have a future. Now, what we saw yesterday shows that we can play with anybody. We're not there yet. Super Bowl contender with defense is missing pieces. You need a pass. You need an edge rusher. You really do. You can have all that money in those D tackles, but if you can't get home on the outside, just because your defensive tackles are stepping up, you're going to have holes. Okay, you got to have that. Plus, that elevates the secondary. I disagree with Paulie on that one. I want to say those two touchdown passes to Terry McLaurin. We have to understand we're watching a rookie quarterback, not just the second year, third year quarterback. We're watching a rookie quarterback in his sixth game. Okay, and here we are watching a ice cold killer on his back foot, throwing a ball late and only throwing it where Terry can catch it. I don't know if I've That's the best pass I've seen out of a Skins quarterback in my lifetime.
Which one? The first touchdown or the second touchdown?
No, the second one. I think the second one's better than the first one. He threw it late, and he pumped late.
I don't see – it's interesting. I'd be curious to know whether or not it was late. He did double pump it, but Romo said that. I'm not sure Romo was right. I think he was faking the corner fade and coming back shoulder. But anyway, Terry makes also – it's a great throw. It's a great catch. It's also really good coverage. I mean, you could say all three
on
that play.
All day there was good coverage.
On Terry in particular, he made some just outstanding catches.
Exactly. But I do want to say, I do agree. I don't know if we're going to be buyers. Okay, the trade deadline. He might be like, listen, hey, we're in good shape here. You know, we're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. You never know. You get to the playoffs, anything could happen. And with this quarterback, that can happen. But if we're buyers, I am definitely calling whoever. I'll get a pass rusher, get you a corner, Kevin. I'm excited, dude. I know you are. You got to be excited, dude. We got a guy, dude. We hit the lotto.
No,
thanks, Kev.
This is, you know, this is why every week is becoming must watch. You know, I don't care who they're playing. You got a shot with him on the field, that's for sure. For all that I did not get to, I apologize, but we got to get to Ben Standing next, and we will do just that right after these words from a few of our sponsors. You're listening to the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. You can also listen to us whenever you want, wherever you want, by downloading the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.